Showing it's on. Do you hear me now? All right. Well, when I went north of 50 a few years ago, I got the peepers, so I guess I'm looking out there, and that's most of you who are north of 50 have these too, so just getting used to them here the last two or three years. So, yeah. Thank you so much for those of you who braved the weather to come out connect. I want to open by just saying thank you. Last year, you became one of our supporting churches for Table in the Wilderness Ministries. We're a non-denominational Christian camp, retreat, and conference center. We also run short-term mission trips for the last 23 years, and we're out of Centennial, Wyoming. Those of you who know where that's at, you have Laramie, University of Wyoming. Go straight west. It's a big mountain valley, and we're on the other side of that valley, bordering Medicine Bow National Forest, about 1 million acres of national forest right there that connected up to the camp. And it's been a blessing to get to be a part of what God has done at Table in the Wilderness. If you want to back it up to that first slide and just hold it there, and then, right there. If you can get it to pause, maybe. I know it's on a slideshow, but if you can't, that's okay too. We're going to look at some pictures here in a little while. My name again is Dan Walgren. My wife Sandra and I have been married 25 years this coming summer. I'm just a farm kid, 13 miles of dirt road from Maxwell, Nebraska. Went to elementary school in Maxwell, high school in Gothenburg. Have three sisters and three brother-in-laws who all know Christ. And we have three kids. My daughter's a senior in high school. My son's a junior, and then my other daughter's in fifth grade. Just been a blessing to get to be a part of what God has done at Table in the Wilderness. One of the real shaping things for me was years and years ago. How many of you ever did Experiencing God clear back in the day, Blackaby, he said, "Look where God's working and join in." And so, in Christian camping, we didn't really try to recreate the wheel. In the sense of, we knew that Christian camps have a unique, and mission trips have a unique drawing card, because so many people, so many students especially, who, whatever reason, have a blockade with the church or even with Christianity, will go to a camp, they'll go to a ski retreat, and then we have that opportunity to serve them and wash their feet and introduce them to Jesus Christ. And that's kind of our focus with Table in the Wilderness. Our whole mantra is sharing the gospel through building relationships. And we really believe that Christ uses that when you step off that hamster wheel. And, one of my favorite things is to have some students go, "My cell phone doesn't work up here." You say, "Amen." Not that cell phones are bad. We're all relying on them. But just to have that opportunity to live in a sense of community, even for a retreat, for a weekend, for a few days, for a camp. Really, God uses that. The Holy Spirit uses that to open up the hearts of students and adults who come through our doors. And we just love that opportunity, because we really believe that if we get that opportunity to serve them in the name of Christ, that there is no affront to the love of Jesus. And I really believe that. There is an affront to people that saying, "Oh, I don't like God. I don't like Jesus. I've had a bad experience. I don't want," the big mantra these days is organized religion. I'm against organized religion, Okay, let me introduce you to Jesus, because there is no affront to the love of Christ. And so we are primarily a ministry to serve churches, because true discipleship happens in the church. True discipleship at our camp happens with our full-time staff and our summer staff, but if a student comes through our doors, they're probably not going to come back to me and say, "Do you remember me 3 years ago? I was on a ski retreat for 2 days, we only had, 2,000 kids come through that year, or students." But my hope is that they're being mentored and they're building a relationship with an adult who is modeling Christ in their local church, because that's where true discipleship. So we're really a ministry to serve the greater purpose, which is Christ's bride, the church. And that's how we kind of approach most of our camps. We do a lot of contractual camps because of that. A youth group joins in with a couple other youth groups, or a small, and I'm from a very small rural, where I was raised, church. I don't know why, but our connections were with these little churches across Nebraska and Kansas and southeast Wyoming and northeast Colorado. And that's really where our drawing card, because we're kind of the closest mountains heading west to get up to. And so, and you know, loved having a beautiful place, and we'll see some pictures here in a little while, where you can disconnect. And sometimes God uses even being in just a different geographic place. You know, when you go on vacation, you probably don't drive over to Crawford and get a hotel. You know, most of you probably go somewhere just geographically a little different, just to have a little break, to see something different, maybe see some different, you know, surroundings and people and things. And so just having those opportunities are really, really great to be able to do and to be able to serve people in that way. We found a table in the wilderness in 1994-95. I always laugh because I say God has a very funny sense of humor. My grandparents came over from Sweden, so I was raised around a lot of Swedish speakers and celebrated a lot of the Swedish holidays in Gothenburg. Stromsburg is not the true Swedish capital of Nebraska. It's Gothenburg. Being raised in that, and then my wife is from Dominican, her parents came from Dominican Republic, so she spoke Spanish as her first language, you know, learned English when she went to school, was born in Santa Monica, raised in greater Los Angeles, California. And so we really laugh because my kids, I think I have a couple-year-older picture. You know, my daughter came out with a beautiful olive skin like my wife has, you know, but she got straight hair. Then my son came out really, really blonde, like a true Swede, but his hair is really curly. I mean, he can grow an afro. He can't get his hockey helmet on, so it's pretty fun. But God has blessed us to get to be a part of what he's done at Table in the Wilderness. The reason we call it Table in the Wilderness Ministries, we also do short-term mission trips. We've led 30 some groups down on Baja Peninsula and Mexico, Tijuana, Ensenada. In fact, I got a mission trip training for a church tomorrow in Rapid City that we'll be taking in June, Parkview Church up there. And so we've led mission trips there and to Dominican Republic and then down into the bottom of Mexico and into Belize for years. And that kind of spurred from God getting a hold of my heart through short-term mission trips with African Inland Missions, AIC, and New Tribes back in the 90s, back in the jungles of Colombia, and different things like that, because I was this, you know, small-town farm kid, and God just, when I went to Bible college at John Brown University, he just took those blinders off, and I went, wow, God, you're so big, your world, Christian worldview and perspectives and all those kind of things. So since God used that in our lives, and like many of you, your ministries will reflect where he's touched you in your life. You know, if you, you know, I saw a Christian Motorcycle Association thing on somebody's, you know, we work a lot with them, the CMA, and you know, a lot of those guys, they just love doing that. So that's the ministry God uses them in, guys and gals. Table in the Wilderness is very much that for us. In 1994-95, we moved out to Laramie, Wyoming with a $600 car, a 66 Ford Falcon that the old gal on a farm told me, you'll know the keys because the shiny one I've never taken out of the ignition since 1966. And I gave her the $600 and we load all our stuff in and headed out, got jobs. We started running backpacking trips with, again, the opportunity to just say, this is going to be an opportunity to be with those students, be out in the wilderness. In about 2007, we got a facility in about 2000 that was in town, an old church that had been shut down. It was 5,500 square foot. That church, I'll walk through those in just a second. And that church is allowed us to be a stepping stone. It was on 2 acres of and to start building and running some groups and doing some different things. And then in 2008, a man approached me and said, hey, I've got this piece of land I'd like to look at. And I said, oh, do you own it? And he said, no. I said, okay. He said, but I know who owns it. Okay. I said, well, is it for sale? And he said, no. He said, but I think I know the owner, so, you know, we can talk to them. And I said, well, how much is it? And he said, well, it'd be 36 acres, has to be 35 acres minimum if they would divide it. He said it's about $25,000 to $35,000 per acre. And I was like, kind of laughed, kind of a holy laughter of, that's great, but we're on full-time missionary support. We still are. And, you know, if you said, Dan, come up with $1,000 and it's yours, you know, I'd say, well, okay, I'll pray about it. I don't have $1,000. You know, I don't know where that would come from, but it was not, it ended up being 36 acres at $35,000 an acre, about $1.12 million. And the man came, and this is a guy that, you know, drove a 10-year-old Ford pickup, and I knew him somewhat, didn't know him really well. He wanted to remain anonymous. He was a cattle feeder, and, you know, most cattle feeders don't have much money. But he said, God has told me to transfer that money to purchase that land for Table in the Wilderness. So, again, it was so neat to see with our board of directors, we got on our knees, you know, because we'd prayed for so many years, and the places had come up. Man, this ranch is beautiful. You know, it's $17 million, it's $21 million, you know. Just not in the cards, you know. And we wanted to use it for ministry purposes. You know, our heart was that God give us, we could build a place where, that you could build a place where people could come and they could disconnect and be, really seek you. That's the sole purpose, is just people to seek you. And so he transferred that money and we purchased the land, and that's when the real work began. It was a bare piece of land with no power, no roads, electricity, up at 8,500 foot elevation. So you have a very short window to build anything, to get concrete in the ground or anything like that. And we took this bare piece of land. We started running camps with some Cabela's wall tents. One of our guys on our board of directors was a longtime Cabela's guy that had been with them for 30 years. And so he was able to, you know, help us with that. We got these tents and pulled a port-a-john out there and just said, okay. And groups started coming, and we started clearing brush and started building and stuff. And where we're at today is, you know, we have a fully operational camp. We have three couples that are on staff full-time. Then we hire on 8 to 14 summer staffers who are upper high school and college age. And to give your, you know, to give a summer to Christ is an awesome, awesome opportunity for us, not only to disciple these younger staff, but also to see them step out and give of themselves. Like I said, you know, Christian Camp has kind of a unique platform in the sense of, you know, a lot of people, we ran father-son antelope hunts for years. And I'll never forget, you know, the first year we were doing that, this guy came and he kind of sat in the back and stuff. And then he was with another guy, and I said, so what's Daryl's story, you know? And he said, I've invited him to Promise Keepers, and he'd dupe out the last minute. He's never been to church, but he loves to hunt. So when I told him about this, and it was super affordable, he was going to come and antelope hunt with me. So he said, he finally, you know, this guy came, and he set up for years and years. And the second year he came, he had accepted the Lord between the first and second year. And I said, what was your affront to Christ? I was just asking him, and he said, you know, I didn't want to hug other men, and I didn't want to sing. And I said, that's funny, because I said, I saw you hug a guy yesterday. And he said, I know, man. When Christ came in, that just changed my whole perspective. I realized that whole perspective, that's what I thought church was. You have to hug other men, and you got to sing. And he said, I don't like those things. I want to hunt. That's what I love. So, you know, you see God do these transformational, but he wouldn't step foot in, you know, other places, but he came because it was a drawing card of something he enjoyed doing. And then that gave us that opportunity to wash his feet, to share Christ with him. And so it's really, really an awesome opportunity. So a lot of people ask us where we got the name Table in the Wilderness. Table's used over 50 times, 56 times. You know, and we mentioned earlier, we're going to partake of the table today. The whole idea of table, or go out and get the blind and bring them in, you know, give them the wedding clothes, bring them in. We forget that the gospel is an invitation to come join the feast, that it is such a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. If I share this with somebody, they're going to lose their joy or lose all the fun they're having. It is an incredibly joyful thing. And so table, used 56 times for that whole imagery of go out and get everybody. They're invited. We're having a feast. I want everybody. You know, he says, go out and get the blind, the lame. You know, we'll put the wedding clothes on them. So that whole idea of table, then the idea of wilderness has always been a place that's been not only a place of testing, You know, the wilderness is and 8,500 feet in Wyoming, as small a state as we are, least populated, there are still some pretty unknown things that happen with weather, with all kinds of things. But the whole idea of wilderness is not only a place of testing, but it's a place of God's provision. You know, whether it was Elijah at Cherith Brook, when the ravens fed him, when you're in a place of wilderness, it is a place where you are ready and God can provide and he will provide that. So that's where we kind of get the idea of table in the wilderness. A lot of people ask us about that just because we feel like a lot of the ministry we do relates a lot to that, to table in the wilderness. And just to having the opportunity to get people away from their normal surroundings, and maybe even do something they, you know, don't normally get to do. We do a lot of men's retreats where, you know, guys ride dirt bikes or farmers bring four-wheelers or cruisers and motorcycles. We do a lot of, you know, ski retreats. We have a high ropes challenge course, and you'll see some of these things in the pictures. But I think if you let it roll, I'm going to walk through some of this and just point out a few of the things. So I think sometimes getting a visual of something, because you guys are supporting the camp, is an awesome way. Let me see if it'll roll through again here. Is an awesome way to kind of see what has happened. The whole camp has been built. This is my wife and I, and this is an old picture. This is my daughter's now a senior, my son's a junior, and our littlest one. And there's one of our summer staff pictures, of all of our summer staff and some full-time staff in one of our tents with some of our counselors. And this is when we are building our main lodge, which is 10,000 square foot, has huge, beautiful look over to Sheep Mountain up in the valley. And then we have cabins that have two units and covered porches so that small groups can meet out under them. There's a few of the cabins. It's a lower dining room with the fireplace and our commercial kitchen. That's upstairs, and some of the elk that have been shot right off the ridge above us. And there's a bathhouse. When the aspens change, it's gorgeous up there. We're right in. So we do run summer camps. This is one of our open kids camps, a pastor from down in Culbertson, Nebraska, that was doing the clown stuff. Up at our fire pit, talking with kids. And we have a climbing wall with a zip line and a whole bunch of elements. Great, great faith. We use a lot of those teachable moments. The thing with a teachable moment is not me talking to a student one way. A teachable moment, and there's the climbing wall again, is when a student feels something and you can relate that to a biblical principle. So a teachable moment is not me communicating one way and not having a student have an opportunity to say, well, I don't understand that, or what does that mean? But it's two-way communication. It's using those things when they feel something. We have hummingbirds all over, and sometimes they'll come up and land on you and stuff. We have mountain bikes, box hockey, archery in our lower meadow there. Those teachable moments are pretty huge, because when a student feels something, when they're going over that climbing wall or they're climbing on rock and they start getting the shakes and they're really scared, and they get the opportunity to talk about, you know, two kinds of fear. There's a fear the fear of the Lord, which is a healthy respect. God is God. I'm not God. And, you know, we don't mess around next to an edge because, you know, there's a healthy fear that comes. Then there's a fear that will keep you from doing what Christ has you to do. That's not the fear that you want. You know, Christ, like, I could never share my faith. You know, that's not a fear God wants you to have. You're going to depend upon him. We just use all those things. We float the North Platte River quite a bit over out of Saratoga, Wyoming, north. We still run some, you know, backpacking trips in the Snowy Range. That's at the top right there. One of the things we thought was when we first started was we wanted to run year-round. If you're going to build something like this, we're a couple miles from Snowy Range ski area. So we have youth groups in from Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, all year, all winter. Then short-term missions, like I said, are very close to my heart because they had such an impact. And so we'll be leading another adult one in February, and then one in June that'll be a student ones from Parkview. But we usually lead two to three of those a year down in the Baja Peninsula. And that gives a lot of our youth groups that come an opportunity to step out when a youth pastor says, says, you know, hey, we've been bringing our kids skiing for 5 years, but now I want our students to be able to give of themselves. What, you know, start getting Christian worldview. Those are usually what we're talking about, perspectives, Christian worldview with sophomore, junior, seniors who are saying, you know, okay, what's, they're making their faith their own, which is one thing I absolutely love about student ministries is at some point that faith has to transfer from mom and dad's in my churches to Christ and mine. And so, you know, that happens through questions. It happens through, you know, sometimes bad, hard, tough decisions. But that's a process, and we get to be involved in that process. Again, look where God's working, and we just get to be a part of it and join in that. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit. All of our full-time staff and our summer staff are on full-time missionary support, and that's where you guys come in. We can't do what we do without the local church being behind us. And I know we'll get... I wanted to have some opportunities for some questions, question and answer, but know this, is that you can be involved and tied in so many ways with Table in the Wilderness other than, and it's very important, you know, sending those checks and being a supporting church. The whole camp has been built by volunteers. Volunteers from, you know, small churches, some bigger churches. You know, it's not that you need to have 100 people to come to camp, you know. Two or three of you can come. We have volunteers that help us throughout the year with food, with deep cleaning. You know, twice a year we do a big deep clean of the camp, plus all the daily cleaning. So, you know, sometimes it's bringing a group. We have many, we've actually recruited through Revive Ministries here at Shadron. Brady Cohn's a good friend of mine, and I think some of you know Brady. Through Revive, we've had 6 or 8 students serve on summer staff positions up at Table. And one of them, she was a girl from Colorado Springs who's attending Shadron, really made a lifelong commitment for Christ. And just always, she came back for 3 summers, and she's from a non-Christian family, and they'd come up visit and tell her, you don't belong with these people. You don't belong with these people, you know. But she said, I love it here because I'm grounded. I'm around other believers. And so she's been a huge connection and blessing. She's done all kinds of stuff for us, even when she's graduated, not at Shadron anymore. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to tie in, not just giving, but, you know, prayer. When you get our updates, we usually have things to be praying about, needs. You know, we for 2 or 3 years here, we said we really need a 4-wheeler with a plow on it, you know, and a friend of mine, Don Meyer from Grand Island Berean, called me and said, I don't know why, God's prompting me for a year, and I just held on to it, but I just need to get rid of this. And it's, you know, I use it for elk hunting and 3 times a year, 3 days a year or something. And so I went and picked that up about a month ago, and so we're getting good use out of it this winter already. But, you know, we put out a list of those things. It might be something, you know, whether it's a vehicle needed or a 4-wheeler or chairs or whatever. Volunteers, there's a whole slew of ways you can be involved in what God's doing at Table, because again, we just get to be a part of it. It's not mine. You know, I won't pass it on. It doesn't have my name on it, but I've gotten to be a part of seeing God work in the lives of those who come through our doors, and that's just a huge, huge blessing for us. I wanted to open it up and ask if you guys have some questions about what anything, whether it's, you know, what we do or anything. Do you have any questions that you guys have?